Right, today's date is December 30th, 2023, Sabbath day, last Sabbath of the year of 2023. And this is Q&A Sabbath. And like I was saying a minute ago before I restarted the recording, this sermon, if you will, I guess you can call it, you know, is a little longer than most. It's going to be about 40 minutes, I would think. But it could be like 2 hours because there's a lot of information. But I wanted to keep it short so as to get right to the point, because I want to make this into a track as well as an audio. And so all the stuff I'm talking about now is going to be edited out when I make an audio about this, because it's important. I do have a similar study on the website about this. And I have another one that I started a couple, 3 weeks ago that's even longer. And it's about, like, if I put it on the site, it'll be about 10 pages, if you print it out, 10 or 11 pages, in regards to blasphemy of the Holy Ghost, because I'm always getting that question over the years, and I've never put it on the Q&A page. And so I'm putting it on the Q&A page, and that's what we're doing this week, because I want it on the Q&A page. I want the audio in case I decide to make a video about it, too. But mostly, I want to use it as a track for when, like right before and during the Sunday Law thing, so that people can understand what blasphemy of the Holy Ghost really is. And so the question is, how does someone commit the unforgivable sin, which is to blaspheme the Holy Ghost? Well, Jesus Christ said in Matthew 12, verses 31 to 32, "Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come." So why is blasphemy against the Holy Ghost so deadly? And why is it an unpardonable sin? Well, this is very important to comprehend properly. What I need to share first before explaining the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit has to be well understood before being able to realize just how deadly this type of blasphemy actually is. Satan plans to cause billions of Christians and non-Christians alike to blaspheme the Holy Ghost in our day, by causing them to openly deny the God of the Bible, by doing the exact opposite of what the Christian God commands them to do directly before the world comes to an end. In fact, Satan knows Christian prophecy better than anyone, and he knows he has very little time left to do this. This is what he has been planning since the Garden of Eden, and he is extremely angry because he is about to die soon. That means he is especially focused on all his plans to lure billions into hellfire with him. In fact, it says in Revelation 12:12 that the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Now, there is something the Creator God planned eons ago that when performed and then embraced as truth by mankind, will allow man to gain eternal life. Now, yes, I'm talking about salvation in Jesus Christ, who, if we embrace as Lord and Savior, will cause us to escape the wrath of God in hellfire, so as to live in peace and happiness in heaven for eternity. But as most Christians know, Jesus died on the cross to give all of us a way to escape hellfire. Many fail to realize a promise made by Christ that grants us power to defeat Satan in a certain way most preachers of today never, ever speak on. In fact, the end result of this promised power is declared in Revelation 22:14 as the means by which we gain heaven. It literally says, "Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city." My brothers and my sisters, that city is New Jerusalem, what most people call heaven. Most Christian churches today are preaching the law of God was abolished at the cross of Christ. Yeah, I kid you not. Yet this passage clearly says, unless you keep God's law, you cannot enter heaven. It's just that simple. Like we were talking earlier in the study hour. If you break the laws or the ordinances of a small town, they kick you out or put you behind bars. How do you think breaking God's law is going to allow you to get into heaven? You cannot enter. And no, I am not saying, as so many people like to say about us, I'm not saying that we keep the Ten Commandments to get saved. No. We keep them because we are saved. Because no man can keep them. No man can keep God's law. And Satan knows this. This is why he does all he can to move the many false prophets Jesus spoke of that, you know, people call pastors today. In Matthew 24:11, Jesus literally called them many false prophets. This was done. In other words, what they're doing now, as a matter of fact, with this Chosen series, I couldn't believe what they said on the camera the other day when I was watching their interview in the news, because it came up in the news as winning some big award because another way of looking at Jesus, another twist on how Jesus is presented. They used the word twist. And so Satan got all of them to preach another Jesus, exactly as prophesied in 2 Corinthians 11:4. This was done to prevent billions from discovering the amazing promise Jesus made regarding the ability to keep God's law for every obedient Christian. In fact, this is why Jesus said in Matthew 7:20, that it is by their fruits ye shall know them. Jesus knows when the power is within us, we will know each other just by how we are able to keep God's law just like they do. And what is this promised power? Hebrews 10:16. It clearly says, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. That all being said, what I'm about to share has to do with a final warning that must be given directly before Plague 1 begins, and Satan knows the Holy Spirit will soon move the obedient remnant people to explain to all that will listen what the clear biblical difference between, or the difference is between, the seal of God and the mark of the beast. The seal, mark, signature, they're all synonymous. They all mean the same thing. But it just so happens when it's talking about God's seal, it's called the seal. And when it's talking about Satan's seal, it's called a mark. So when we go forth with this final warning, which some of us have already begun to do recently, and some of us have been doing it for decades because the Lord's testing us and we're obeying and he's using us and we're going to go forth even more so in the coming days, the words that God gives us will cause everyone on earth to know exactly what the seal is and what the mark is. How they react to the truth dictates whether they will obey God to receive his seal of salvation or blaspheme the Holy Ghost to receive the mark of damnation. Now, since we know Satan uses God's word in a twisted manner to pull people into his dying camp by creating counterfeit worship, which can be seen in how billions of people have worshipped many different pagan gods for eons, the long prophesied mark of the beast will also be a twist on the seal of God in heaven. It's always a twist on what God does. Satan always has to do that. This twist will appear as being a religious doctrine, wherein billions will actually believe to be truth when in fact it is nothing of the sort. In fact, any babe in Christ with a Bible in hand can prove what the mark is now. But in order to better understand how this twist will cause many to receive the mark of the beast instead of the seal of God in the very near future, let's look at how an official seal is made by the governments of the world to better understand how God made his own seal 6,000 years ago. So the official seal of man is done by the way all governments, you know, they got to have an official seal so that laws are passed. The Congress passes the bill, but the president signs the bill into law. But he has to put his official seal on that law. Otherwise, it's not valid. He must put it on there. And that bill, which becomes law, has to, his seal has to have three specific features to validate it as an official seal that makes the bill into law. Number one, it has to have, the first feature is it has to have the name of the official signing it. Number two, the title of the official signing it. And number three, the territory of the official that signs the seal, right? So as an example, if George Washington were president today and he was signing a bill into law, his seal would be name, George Washington. Title, president. Territory, the United States of America. So collectively, this government official seal would read George Washington, President of the United States. That's how he would seal it. Now, seeing how God is eternal, his seal will also be eternal in his law, even unto this day, as well as, you know, because it clearly says in Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. And just so you know, the reason the sons of Jacob are not consumed here in this verse is because when you obey the Lord, he protects you and he brings you to an expected end wherein you won't be consumed in hellfire. I mean, there's a ton of Bible verses that talk about that. But just to narrow it down to one, Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Now, notice what it says in commandment number 4, where the seal of God is actually located. It's in Exodus 20, verses 8 to 11. It says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work. Thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days, in other words, he's saying this is why you won't do it. You can't do it. It's because in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. So did you catch that? It clearly says in commandment number 4, which is the heart of the Ten Commandments, right in the middle of that commandment, it says, the Lord made heaven and earth in that commandment. That is the seal. It has the exact same three features that every government seal has since time began. And so just as the seal of the President of the United States of America has three main features to make it valid since government leaders copied God's seals long ago, well, common sense dictates that the seal of God will have the exact same three features as well. But in this case of an eternal God, his seal is valid for all eternity because not only did Malachi the prophet declare our God never changes, it says in Hebrews 13:8 that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever as well. God's seal really is eternal. But how do we see this? Well, I'll put this in the room so that I can have the verses right there for you if you need them. Because I put them in the list. Let me just see if it'll fit like 1, 2, 3. Let's see how it goes. Oh, good, it did. All right, so name. Now, this is the three features of a seal. Well, but that now it's the seal of God. It's not the seal of man, all right? Because mankind learned how to make a seal just by watching God do it first, right? So anyway, name, Lord. Because Isaiah 42:8 says, I am the Lord. That is my name, right? Okay. Title, creator. Because Exodus 20:11 just said that the Lord made, so he's a creator. Territory, well, what did he make? Heaven and earth. Because Exodus 20:11 also said that he made heaven and earth. So collectively, the official seal of God reads, the Lord, creator of heaven and earth. There you have it. The seal of God is found in the midst of the Ten Commandments. Better yet, it's found in the one commandment that if kept by man confirms he believes in God, the God that made heaven and earth by resting on the Sabbath as he commanded him to rest, so as to be reminded every week for all of eternity that we have a loving God who cares for us. In fact, it says in Psalms 77 verse 11, I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. And in Psalm 111:4, it says, he hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. And finally, in Psalm 119, verse 55, it says, I have remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night, and have kept thy law. Look at the prophetic whisper. We are in the night time of history, and we kept the law. That is just so amazing to me when I look at that, and I see how gracious and loving our Father is. But to further lock this down, did you also notice the word remember in the first verse of commandment number 4 as it's written in Exodus 20, verses 8 to 11? Were you aware that that word remember is not just a loving tug on the heart of his obedient children to remember thy wonders of old? That remember, that word remember, is also the only prophetic statement made in God's law. He purposely used that single word to warn us that his law will be changed in this one area by Satan, who taught it as truth to all the many false prophets or corrupt pastors in the fallen churches of the final days, in the night, if you will, so as to cause billions to blaspheme the Holy Spirit right before Jesus returns. The devil purposely twisted many Bible truths from the churches for thousands of years. Then, as prophesied by Jesus in Matthew 24:11, Satan moved all the fallen preachers he controls in the last days to cause them to preach the Sabbath of the Creator God was changed so as to nullify the official seal of God, knowing that if the Christians believe this lie about the Sabbath changing to Sunday, their obedience will be shifted only onto trusting Satan's law, thereby making him a god in their eyes, which was actually prophesied. That's what he's going for. The prophet Isaiah stated that Satan will cause most of the world to worship him over God. Isaiah 14, verses 12 to 14, but if you read it all in context from verses 12 to 14, you're going to get to the point where Satan actually said that he will be like the Most High, God of the Bible, to most people on earth in the last days. So looking forward thousands of years from Isaiah's day, we see that this prophecy did in fact fulfill to the letter, because most Christians today do in fact obey Satan over the Creator God by keeping Sunday holy, which means they now worship and obey Satan, even though God lovingly tried to warn them so clearly in his law to remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. The Bible and prophesied fact, or rather the biblical and prophesied fact, is that whenever the mark of the beast or the image of the beast is mentioned in prophecy, the word worship is right there with it in each and every verse, thereby proving it's prophesied to be a religious law. This is why Satan moved all the pastors today to repeatedly call the law of God as being abolished on the cross of Christ, to keep his lie intact for centuries, even though the Bible actually says over 50 years after the cross of Christ. It states in 1 John chapter 2, verse 4, that he that saith, I know him, you know, speaking about Jesus, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Okay, this is another verse you're not going to see on these Sunday-keeping pulpits. The Lord also moved the prophet Daniel to warn all that study the Word of God as Jesus commanded that they should in Matthew 24:15, that Satan would use Rome to change the Sabbath. In Daniel chapter 7, verse 25. And again, this is why our Lord, our God, who loves us so much, said to remember the Sabbath day and commandment number 4. He knew he was going to have Daniel try to remind us again, because he is the one that speaks through Daniel. And so now for the nuts and bolts of this prophesied event we see that's fulfilling in our lifetime. It says in Revelation 13:15 that the United States government will have power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause, that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And if you want biblical and even recent historic factual information regarding what the image of the beast really is, see the study and stack of videos that I posted online. I'll put the link in the room. And for those of you listening on the radio, you just go to remnantofgod.org/image.htm. So in the prophecy, if you do your studies in Bible prophecy, and I got a, I'll put another link in the room too. In fact, if you want to know what every symbol in Revelation means, and even more so now because I'm actually updating that study, remnantofgod.org for, well, you're going to have a pen for this one. I'm WTBR, remnantofgod.org/books/docs, you know, D-O-C-S, /REV/revelation.htm. Every symbol is defined there, and even more so soon. So in prophecy, the term speak means to lobby law. The word cause means to enforce it. You can even see that in James or Daniel or the Book of Mark. It's in there. And I'll have all these links linked out for the Bibles. But I'm actually going to make a blog entry out of this moment. So soon, the Pope's fabricated science of global warming, which was recently retitled as climate change due to over 30,000 scientists proving him wrong, the Pope will soon claim Sunday laws are needed to stop the climate change disasters. For in so doing, he claims it will appease God and he will stop the disasters. And then I have a, you know, a website page, you know, where I got tons of videos and articles proving he has been pushing this prophesied agenda for many years. It's at remnantofgod.org/climate change. All one word, climatechange.htm. And yes, many laughed and scoffed when we declared for decades that the Pope will use climate change to push forth the mark of the beast, because we heard about the climate change where they were calling it global warming back in the 90s when Al Gore and the Pope got together, and John Paul II. And so we were declaring it, you know, how they're going to enforce the mark back then. Because and since you cannot change Christian prophecy, and as expected, the Pope made the following announcement worldwide just a few weeks ago. He said, now this is Pope Francis talking. He said, this was the headline of the article, and I got the link that'll be on here as well when I put this online as a blog entry. The headline is Pope Francis, the problem of climate change is a religious problem. Pretty obvious, ain't it? That vindicates us, brothers and sisters. We've been telling people for so long that they were going to do this, and now they're doing it exactly as the Bible showed us. And so praise God for that. So the laughing has stopped, obviously, but, you know, scoffing probably won't. And so now that you know what the mark of the beast is, that it's, you know, Sunday laws, you need to remember that when someone comes to you in the coming days, and that's going to be very soon, and they're going to demand that you keep Sunday holy to keep your job or buy food or even pay the rent, and then if you agree with them, knowing that this was prophesied, and you know the Bible clearly says the Sabbath was never changed, you not only receive the mark of the beast, you will have blasphemed the Holy Ghost. And as Jesus warned in Revelation 22:11, you will be forever lost, because someone who has blasphemed the Holy Ghost cannot be saved. You will, like Jesus says in Revelation 22, you're going to remain filthy and unsaved, which means you're guaranteed to die in hellfire. But if you refuse to break God's law when they enforce the mark, you will be guaranteed eternal life. And keep in mind, this so-called pandemic was not really about a flu or vaccine, even though billions of people got the vaccine and millions of people died from that vaccine. The main reason for this pandemic was to set up an infrastructure in every nation on earth that would prevent people from keeping their jobs or even entering stores and businesses without proof they had the vaccine or at the very least wearing a mask. If you all recall, we saw this with our own eyes, right? Everything they now need to enforce the mark is set up. It's here. All they need to do is change the words, like, you know, instead of saying, do you have the vaccine, to do you believe Sunday is the Sabbath? And they're all set. It's already set up. So, how does all that I just stated prove billions will soon blaspheme the Holy Ghost so as to receive damnation? And how does someone actually blaspheme the Holy Ghost? Well, the easiest way I know to explain this, and I hope you're listening, think of something that you know to be absolute truth, way deep inside your heart. You know, like your name, or the fact that the sky is blue, Or how about the fact you breathe oxygen? You know, just to name a few. When someone asks you your name, you have no doubt deep inside as to what your name is. Just as you know the sky is blue and you need to breathe. That reality you hold deep inside you, wherein you know something is absolutely true, is paramount on understanding how someone actually blasphemes the Holy Ghost. It's just that simple. Now, please listen carefully. If you're a Christian who trusts the Bible, and especially if you're one that studies or understands end-time prophecy, you know most of the prophecies that were to fulfill before Christ's return have already been fulfilled, and the few left to fulfill all the way have already had their foundation set up in stone. You can't change them. You can't stop any of this from fulfilling. Christian prophecy can't be changed. And if you want a deep, you know, pretty good list of these prophecies, as well as the historic records that match with them being fulfilled, remnantofgod.org/getready.htm. Okay, and as Christians, we also know it has been prophesied that there will be a final message given that will be given one last time to all mankind directly before Jesus returns, and that prophecy calls the loud cry, which you can find in Revelation 14:18. That message entails that Christians must keep God's law, and especially his seventh-day Sabbath, wherein his seal is located, so as to verify to all looking on that you are one that has chosen to love, honor, and obey the Creator, Jesus Christ, instead of Satan, the destroyer, who has taken over all the churches, exactly as prophesied in Isaiah chapter 4, verse 1. So, the obedient Christians that love the Lord Jesus Christ must leave the fallen churches they are in right now so as to escape the seven last plagues that are prophesied to fall on those that deny Jesus as Lord, as well as all the churches keeping Sunday as Sabbath in direct defiance of God's eternal, never-changing law. To those that will love, honor, and obey God, Revelation 18, verses 4 and 5 says that they have to come out of her, my people, that you be not partaker of her sins, and you receive not of her plagues, for her sins have reached high unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. You know, as John the Baptist declared 2,000 years ago, the final message for today is to be the same. The people need to prepare ye the way of the Lord and make his path straight. You can find it in Matthew 3:3. And this is why it has already been witnessed by immeasurable numbers of people all around the world that some Christians in all the corrupt churches are literally showing signs of choosing to obey and follow Jesus as Lord over and above the corrupt pastors who are demanding they keep Sunday holy. We lost count as to how many people are joining our number in just the last month alone. These obedient Christians came to this understanding and blessed faith because they studied the Word, not us. They're not pastor echoes. They're Bereans. They're going to back everything they believe with that which is written. They study His Word each day as well as sharing their faith regarding the fallen state of their church leaders. They know and do all they can to warn others that they too need to be ready for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ by coming out of those fallen churches, exactly as Jesus said and warned them in Revelation 18, verses 1 to 5. But there is also another part of this message that has become very much louder in recent years. It has to do with what prophecy calls the mark of the beast being enforced very soon. No, the mark of the beast is not a barcode. It's not a very chip implant or even the number 666, as some of these apostate pastors, corrupt preachers, and lukewarm Christians claim. As a matter of fact, a young girl, FedEx girl, when I handed her the, you know, the image of, when I handed her the climate change track yesterday, I go, yeah, just keep an eye on this. They're going to, you know, I mentioned, like I always say, this is what I say when I hand them this track. I say, you know, here, keep your eyes on climate change because they're going to eventually use religious laws to enforce it, because Satan wants to be worshipped as a god, as we saw in the book of Isaiah. And every time you see the mark of the beast mentioned in Revelation, the word worship is right there with it. And she goes, yeah, that's why I'll never get that implant in my hand or my forehead. And then I pull out my mark of the beast track and says, young lady, you need to take a look at this too. That's all I said. I wasn't going to say, you're wrong. I'm not going to upset her. Say, hey, check this out. And I gave her the mark of the beast track too. They're all believing it's either the number 666, that's a tattoo, or the very chip, or even a barcode, because it's based on three sixes. The Bible clearly states what the mark is, but is also prophesied in both Isaiah 30, verse 10, and Matthew 24, 11. Most preachers and pastors today preach false prophecies of peace and safety so as to calm the hearts of the people, where in so doing keeps the money flowing towards the pastor's pocket, while at the same time keeps their flock blind to all the signs happening all around him. Because if they leave his church, he has to get a job. In fact, the Pope has billions. Hold on. We just lost. Did I just lose the turbo? Let's see how that's possible. Give me a moment here. Test. Nope, I'm back. That was weird. I never saw that happen before. All right, anyway, getting back. Like I was saying, that most pastors and preachers that preach false prophecy and like peace and safety and the smooth things that Isaiah talks about, they do this to calm the hearts of the people so that the money keeps going into the pastor's pocket. And the Pope literally has billions of people believing all the disasters in nature have to do with climate change, when in fact they have nothing to do with climate change at all, as we found. What we're all seeing are the final signs of Christ's return, exactly as prophesied in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 3. These false pastors are declaring peace and safety, when in fact, sudden destruction is coming upon them and anyone that trusts their lying words. You know, because they're not saying Jesus Christ is coming back. They're just saying it's climate change. We can do something about this. No, you're going to get destroyed if you don't bow your knee to Christ. But please listen closely now. And I'm probably going to go on another 8 minutes, I think. When God's remnant people give the final warning, be it in a track, a sermon, or a video, or even face-to-face on a street corner or on the phone, all the people they speak to will understand with perfect clarity the importance of that God-given message that we present to them to repent and accept Jesus as Lord and Savior so as to receive the seal of God instead of the mark of the beast. As prophesied, this is going to be the final decision everyone on earth must make in the coming days. And it doesn't matter if you're an atheist, Christian, Muslim, Jew, Hindu, Mormon, or even Roman Catholic, because we are all created by the same God who did not create any of these strange religions. Satan created them to lure people away from the truth in plain and simple Bible Christianity. See, these preachers are trying to make Christianity look like rocket science when it's so simple. There's only one true religion of the Bible. All the others are a satanic twist on the scriptures, so as to lure billions into damnation, exactly as prophesied in Matthew 7:21, that says, not everyone saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. A lot of people out there are going to claim Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and they're going to get the boils and the rest of the plagues and die, because they don't know the Jesus of the Bible. They're preaching and embracing another Jesus. You know, some, like the atheists, though, they'll abruptly deny the truth as well as claim there is no God. But this final message put forth in the loud cry by God's obedient children is so powerful that even the atheists can't hide behind their self-deception anymore, because it truly doesn't matter what they claim to believe. The God that created us all also knows what we're thinking as well as what we believe deep inside our hearts. Just as you know your own name or the fact that the sky is blue, the Lord also knows the truth you just heard from the Holy Spirit via the lips of his obedient children in these last days was clearly understood by you as absolute truth deep inside. For it is written in the Psalms 44, verse 20 to 21, if we have forgotten the name of our Lord God, or stretched out our hands to a strange God, shall not God search this out? For he knoweth the secrets of the heart. And then, and so, as the Lord says in Ezekiel 33:11, turn ye from your evil ways, for why will you die? And just so you know, to blaspheme the Holy Ghost is not a knee-jerk reaction. It's not something anyone can do by mistake. It is a strong, determined, thoughtful resistance of the truth that the majority of the people will ignore simply because they either hate God that much, or because when the mark of the beast is enforced with the two different intent conditions, you know, buy and sell, and of course the guillotine, they experience so much fear that they don't want to lose their ability to buy and sell, or even die in a guillotine. They will deny the very God they claim to love and trust just to stay alive for a few more moments. And the cold reality here is, that's just what it'll be. Just a few more moments of life. For when the mark is enforced with the death penalty, scriptures declare in Revelation 18:8 that within that very year, all seven of the plagues will come, ending all life on earth. Within that year. Well, except, of course, all the Christians. They won't die because they received the seal of God. But theirs is an eternity of life, love, peace, and happiness. Because the Bible also says in Psalm 91:10, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. So yeah, everybody's going to die in the plagues, except, of course, the obedient Christians. Now, in closing, you can lie to yourself, but no man can lie, no man alive can lie to God, because he's a God that reads the hearts of man, because he created the hearts, just like he told Job, who made the ears that I cannot hear what they're hearing? Who made the eyes that I cannot see what they're seeing? Who made the lips that I, or the tongue that cannot, that speaks that I haven't heard what they're saying? You know, I'm paraphrasing the daylights out of that, but the fact of the matter is, he's also the one who created the heart and the mind. He knows what we, and the conscience and the brain. He knows everything that we're that, that's why this is happening. He's checking every single solitary one of us out to make sure that he can trust us way down deep, so that when it comes time to go for the loud cry, he knows he can trust us to do it because he's read our hearts. He knows we're not budging. But he also knows some of us will budge. And as was prophesied, many bright lights will go out. And we've seen quite a few bright lights go out in this church over the last few decades. We've seen quite a few. Some real shockers, too, I got to say, that you never thought would have left. Sorry. Anyway, our God knows when everybody hears this message that we put out there, and the Holy Spirit gives us the exact words to share, everyone, he knows, every one of them understood every word that the Holy Spirit said to them is true. And even to us if we're not ready. But due to the lack of faith, or something as simple as fear of losing their ability to buy and sell, this will cause many to ignore the heartfelt warning to keep their jobs or their bank accounts. When they ignore the truth, they know deep inside was true. That is when they literally blaspheme the Holy Ghost. That's when it happens. They ignore the truth that they know deep inside was true. They blow it off anyway because they don't want to lose a job or close a bank account or even lose their head in a guillotine. That is when they literally blaspheme the Holy Ghost, because the Lord knows they understood it. The Holy Spirit told them, and they told them, and they denied the Holy Spirit. They didn't believe it because they want to stay alive. As Jesus declared in Revelation 22:11, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. In other words, once the plagues begin, all those damned can never be saved. And all those saved can never be damned. For as Jesus also said in Revelation 21:6, it is done. And I hope and pray you are blessed by what was shared this Sabbath day.